and it's KVCR. It's now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, I welcome Doug Lightenheimer, and we're going to be speaking very much about the St. Margaret's Friends of Music concert season. But first, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on this.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, so with St. Margaret's Friends of Music concert season, you're by title director of music, but also organist at St. Margaret's. So organ, for some, it was, you know, an extension of the piano, where Jack McDuff started on the B3 because they didn't want a bass player anymore, and there was that thing in the corner, so boom, he became good. But how did it come about for you? Is this a recovering piano player kind of thing, and just, oh my God, this?
No, organ was my chosen profession. Mm-hmm. I began life in the United Presbyterian Church in Portsmouth, Ohio, and my mother was the choir director, and her second cousin was the organist. And I grew up listening to that beautiful music every Sunday, and I think I was called to be an organist at that point. Mm. I did start, however, on the piano when I was 7 years old, started piano lessons. I didn't start taking formal organ lessons until I was in high school, a junior in high school, and then I went on to major in organ in college.
At the age of 7, was it something that you had asked for, or was it thrust upon you?
Interestingly enough, I would come home from church and go to the piano and be able to sit down and sound out the hymns that I had heard that day in church.
Ah.
And I think my parents at that point decided, okay, it's time to start piano lessons. So I was excited to do that.
They're working on lunch and you're a mighty fortress. Okay.
There you go.
I grew up Presbyterian. So I got a mix of piano, some organ here and there. So let's look at it this way. I want just a little bit of pipe organ knowledge that I'd like for you to share with us. Some, let's just say, slight pipe organ basics. A wind-driven instrument expelling air through pipes tuned to different notes. I mean, this is horribly truncated, but basically when a person reads a 71 rank pipe organ, for example, such as the one at St. Margaret's, is this saying that it has 71 pipes?
The organ at St. Margaret's actually has 4,274 pipes.
Okay.
So 71 ranks, a rank of pipes is a set of pipes.
Ah.
So for each specific sound on the organ, for instance, if I were to pull the stop that said oboe, these are pipes that are designed to sound like the oboe instrument. There are 61 notes on the keyboard, and there is one pipe for every note on the keyboard, and that is a rank of pipes.
Okay, so it can be compared to a piano with the 88 keys of certain notes, but then there's different settings where you can get a different sound. Is it a different sound for the same pipe, or air is diverted to, say, the oboe pipe, or something that adjusts the sound of that particular pipe?
Well, the organ is composed of several stops, and each stop controls a different rank of pipes. So, for instance, if I pulled a principal stop, and a principal is a sound that's specifically related to the pipe organ, you won't find that instrument anywhere else. It is a pipe organ sound, the primary fundamental sound of the organ. If I pull the stop that says principal and I play the keys on the keyboard, the air will go to all of those pipes in that rank of pipes. Mm. So by pulling more stops or less stops or stops of different sounds and different pitch levels, it's basically having an orchestra at your fingertips. As Mozart said, the organ was the king of the instruments.
Wow.
And that is why.
I truly had no idea. I thought, okay, one, X number of pipes, and I can only compare it to the 88 keys that we get on a keyboard, and that made sense to me. But then I knew that they were different abilities, I suppose, for lack of a better way of saying it. The one at St. Margaret's, I knew that that sounded rather large, and I suppose it is indeed, but then I started looking around. And gosh, there's the one in Atlantic City that is just shy of some 33,000 pipes. And then in Philadelphia, I think, almost 29,000 pipes. The question is, with more pipes, I never thought I'd be Googling largest pipe organs. But when you play an organ with tens of thousands of pipes, is it really all that? I mean, there's range, but then everything in between? Are we talking about different instrument options once we get to thousands and thousands of more pipes, or what is the real difference there?
I think at some point you will get to the point at which you start duplicating sounds. There are all sorts of sounds that can be made with the pipe organ, lots of orchestral sorts of sounds. At some point you will start duplicating those sounds, but the more sounds you have, the larger the color you have. If you want to compare it to an orchestra, you can have an orchestra that's small but still have all of the sounds you would learn in an orchestra. But you can add more oboes and more clarinets and more trombones and more flutes, and you just get a bigger, grander sound.
So it's not even like you're having first and second chair playing counterpoint. You're just having more sounds, even if it's the same notes.
Yes.
It's a fuller sound.
Yes, more sound and more color. More color options.
Now, this could just make us totally dive into lowbrow here for a second, but one of my coworkers and friends here, where does the Calliope fall in the world of comparative pipe organs? Smaller but louder? It's gas-driven instead of air? I mean, where does that fall?
A Calliope?
Yeah.
I'm not very versed on the Calliope. Mm. I know it's more of an entertainment sort of sound instrument, but they're usually very small, small by comparison, and the sound of the Calliope is a unified sound. So when you hear a Calliope, you hear the same sound all the time. And a pipe organ can sound like several different instruments.
Gotcha. Okay, well, there's that at least, yeah. I did a quick look, and all I got really is that beyond the size and the, I suppose, more portability of it, they were apparently louder. You could hear them for miles.
They can be very loud.
But I think that they were also driven by steam engine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I think that exhausts a lot of my pipe organ, what I always wanted to know but afraid to ask. Let's go to the St. Margaret's Friends of Music. First of all, a little bit about the organization or entity. How long has this even been around? That is to say, as an entity providing a music series for the public.
St. Margaret's Friends of Music as a concert series is in its 24th season this year. It was originally founded by my predecessor, John Wright, in October of 2001. It was founded as the Desert Friends of Music. And it was 2 years ago that the title was changed to St. Margaret's Friends of Music. It did not change the series, but to make it more identifiable with St. Margaret's Church.
Okay. And then how long had it been in existence before you came along?
It was founded in 2001, so we're on our 24th season. And the very first concert on October 30th, 2001, was the Vienna Choir Boys. That was their first concert on the series. So since 2001, it's been in existence.
And how long have you been a part of it?
It came on staff at St. Margaret's in September of 2022. So this is my third year on staff, and this will be my third year managing and directing the series.
Gotcha. Is that always an in-tandem kind of thing? Is the music director for the church? Well, I guess there's only been two. There's your predecessor and then now you.
Yes.
Was he also music director for the church as well as for the music series?
He was.
Okay.
And yes, that usually goes hand in hand, those two positions.
Okay. Okay, Doug, let's now hear about the rest of the St. Margaret's Friends of Music 2024-25 season, highlighting one coming up rather soon. If you could tell us about James Kennerly.
James Kennerly is a world-renowned organist. He was raised in the United Kingdom, did his schooling there. One of his starting career positions was as assistant organist or organ scholar at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And from there, he came to the United States. He has a degree from the Juilliard School of Music in New York, has had several prominent positions as both an organist, a composer, a conductor in New York City, still is involved in New York City. I think he's based basically in Boston now, but has several positions, including a church position in Maine. So he's very renowned as an organist and musician in the United States and abroad.
It's quoted in the brochure or the season lineup, quote, with a phenomenal technique and sheer musicality. So what exactly do you get with James as far as technique that you might not get from other organists or maybe in the same way that you don't get from some other organists?
Well, I think with most of the organists we have on the series, technique is the groundwork for being able to play well and having a good technique. How you work with your hands on the keyboard and the organ. And so all of the organists we have on the series have a wonderful technique and ability to work around the keyboard and the instrument.
Have you been able to see James live in the past?
I have not. James comes to me by reputation.
Okay.
There's a gentleman in my choir who worked with James in New York City years ago, and he recommended James for the series, and we are delighted to have him.
Nice. And are you privy by chance to anything that he might be bringing to the table January 17th?
I actually do not have his program yet, so I don't know what he will be playing.
As far as we know, he's still working it out. He's having coffee saying, oh my God, how do I open? How do I do this?
People like James play for so many concerts. I think they have concert repertoire in their back pocket.
Yeah.
It's easy just to say, this is what I will do and we'll play. But his recordings online, he has several recordings online, YouTube and other places like that. He plays with orchestras. He's really quite an outstanding performer.
So again, that's January 17th at 7 p.m. What is the best place for people to get tickets? Or is it at the door as well? Give us the scoop.
We do sell tickets at the door, and that's an easy way to get the ticket. Otherwise, our tickets are sold through Eventbrite. And if you go to the church's website, there is a link to the Eventbrite page where you can order tickets online and in advance. But we always have tickets at the door, so it's easy to come to the door and get a ticket and go right in.
And what is the website?
The website would be stmargaretts.org, stmargaretts.org.
Excellent. Now, you have a season which I think will bring a variety of audience members going from the classical and other based organ concerts all the way to an early February concert, Emmett Cahill. This is going to be a cool one. I mean, whether people are into Celtic Thunder or they just appreciate a tenor or whatever the case is. So, one, how did you even get Emmett for the series?
Well, that was a stroke of fortune for me. When I took the position at St. Margaret's in 2022, Emmett had already been booked to do a concert in that concert season. That season was booked before I came on board. So I had the opportunity to have Emmett 2 years ago. He came and did a Christmas concert at the church. He liked being with us and really wanted to come back. So that was an easy thing because he was already there. I had met him. And it was easy to get a hold of him and have him come back to do this concert in February.
Fantastic. And do you know if, is this sort of a one-off concert for him, or is it part of a tour that he's doing with just a stop in the desert?
He tries to do his tour so that he has several places to go in one place. So I would imagine he might be performing elsewhere in the region just for the sake of traveling and putting concerts together. He was in Southern California a few months ago with Celtic Thunder.
Yeah.
But this will be a solo concert.
He most certainly would be bringing some songs he's known for with Celtic Thunder, but I would imagine he may be bringing his Ireland CD, I suppose. Got to get Danny Boy in there.
Mm-hmm. I do not know what he will be performing, and actually when he was here at Christmas before, he chose to announce his pieces as the concert. We did not print them in the program. He simply announced that he would be doing his selections, and he announced his selections as he sang them.
Gotcha, okay. You're listening to KVC Arts on KVCR. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Doug Leitenheimer, music director for the St. Margaret's Friends of Music Concert Series. Emmett Cahill will indeed be in Santa Barbara February 3rd, Vista on the 4th, and at St. Margaret's in Palm Desert on the 5th. More about the St. Margaret's Friends of Music Concert Series as KVC Arts continues.
And I will sleep in peace until
Now, by chance, whenever there's an organ concert as part of this series, are people always coming in for the pipe organ as opposed to, say, any other kind of organ. I've not been to St. Margaret's, so I don't know if there's other availability. If you have a Hammond B3 under a tarp in the corner, what do you have?
We do not have a Hammond B3 under the tarp in the corner. We only have the Quimby pipe organ in the church, and people do come specifically to hear that. One of the reasons we have so many organ concerts on the series is because St. Margaret's is very fortunate to have this pipe organ. It's a little bit of an anomaly to have an instrument of this size and caliber in our part of Southern California, in the desert. And so our series is largely built around that pipe organ. Mm. So that's why we have so many organ concerts, to showcase this wonderful instrument that we have.
Okay. Was this organ, has it been there as long as St. Margaret's has been, by chance?
No, St. Margaret's Church dates back into the, I think, the 1960s. The current building in which we worship was built back in the late 1980s. And then a project was undergone to build this beautiful chancel area and to combine it with the pipe organ. So we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the pipe organ in our last season. So the pipe organ is now 25 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay. Something that I was astounded to find, and again, I recognize it's a severely different type of organ, but at the California Theater in San Bernardino here, if I'm not mistaken, the organ that is there is the one that came in when they built the theater, you know, originally to accompany the silent movies or the vaudeville days, I suppose.
That's very possible. So, a lot of theaters still have the same organs that went in. Some have lost their organs and then have replaced them.
It would be hard to, that's quite an undertaking. It's not like people think of an organ, but I mean, this is an installation. This is a part of the building, pretty much.
Yes, at St. Margaret's specifically, it was designed to go with the building and the space. The building and the organ are very much a part of each other in each installation.
Going back to the 2024-2025 St. Margaret's Friends of Music series, Isabel Demers, again, a concert organist, tell us, please, about her and how you came in contact with her, became a part of the program.
Isabel is one of our repeat performers on the series. She has been on the series before. I've heard Isabel play many times at conventions and at other venues where I have lived. She taught organ, and I believe she taught at Baylor University in the United States. And then she has since moved back to her native Canada, where she is a professor of organ at McGill University. But she is a wonderful player. She's a dynamo. She's sort of short and smallish in stature, and yet she sits on that organ bench and moves all over that keyboard. It's almost as much fun to watch her play as it is to hear her play. But I have known of her playing for a long time, and she's quite a consummate professional, wonderful instrumentalist, and one of these organists, of course, that plays everything completely from memory, not a stitch of music on the organ rack, and she's a delightful person as well. So we're very happy to have her back on our series.
I never even thought about that part of it. I picture somebody reading and maybe even having the young intern from the university pulling pages away as they go. I never thought about anybody committing something like this, and especially the breadth of what you would be accomplishing on these keyboards. I suppose there could easily be listeners who have not seen a pipe organ. It's not like, okay, there's, you know, a piano keyboard. I keep going back to that. Or you have some types of organs where there's multiple keyboards. Maybe you've got the guy in the band that has the keyboard here and he's over there. Maybe it's cool, maybe it's necessary. I'm not sure, but there it is. But now with this pipe organ, there are some photos, and this may be from some of the largest ones when I was looking them up, but there's stacks of keyboards in front of you and to the side, and this is a lot to process. It's not like you can just picture where your, you know, bass and treble clef. It goes beyond that.
The pipe organ at St. Margaret's has four keyboards.
Okay.
So the keyboard on a pipe organ has 61 notes, which is exactly five octaves, as opposed to a piano that has 88 keys. The keyboard has 61 keys on it, and there are four of these keyboards. What some folks may not realize is there's also a 32-note pedal board that the organist plays with his or her feet. So at the same time the hands are going, both feet are going. And then we have all sorts of mechanical devices to change the stops or the settings or the sounds of the organ as the organist is playing. There are shutters in the chambers that open and close to make the organ louder and softer. A lot of things go into play, pardon the pun, go into play in playing the pipe organ.
That's okay. I appreciate the pun. And somewhere in there, I had something about playing for the masses. And then I thought immediately, okay, 'tis the season. Let's just go there. So
very well.
I appreciate it. Chanticleer. This is wrapping up the season. And I've been in public radio for quite some time now, so I don't know when I first became aware of Chanticleer, but long enough that I'm sure there's a different iteration by now. But getting them on the season lineup, this is both an opportunity, of course, for people to see such a group, this all-male ensemble. I don't know how many are in the group, but it's a very full range and sound. But also this would give quite the variety. I mean, you had vocal with Emmett, for example, but now this gives something else. Are you making sure to do that as you assemble each season? Okay, we've got plenty of pipe organ. Let's pepper in some other types of things.
Exactly. That's what we do with the season. We actually start with the idea that the pipe organ is at the backbone of our series. So we are usually heavily weighted on pipe organ concerts. This year we have 3 pipe organ concerts. Although it's not part of the series per se, the choir at St. Margaret's performs a service of lessons and carols every year, and that's always been included on the series. So when we get past the pipe organ, we try to bring in other sorts of groups so that we have a wider variety. So in addition to pipe organ, we always try to have some sort of vocal ensemble, whether it be Chanticleer. 2 seasons ago, we had the wonderful choir from St. Olaf College in Minnesota was on the series. And then any other instrumentalist, like a vocalist, like Emmett. Last year, we had a wind orchestra that came and played. Our concerts usually are more classical-oriented, but in the past, there have been some jazz groups on the series and some other groups like that. So we try to round out the organ concerts with at least one choral concert, maybe a vocal concert, something instrumental, so there's a variety, something for everybody to come here.
Oh, nice, nice. That's how I would hope it's put together, but it's great to know that that's how it is. And it makes sense, of course, that you would have the backbone, or the pillar, if you will, of the season being built around this wonderful pipe organ that you have at St. Margaret's. So, Chanticleer, I'm curious about when you're contacting people, part of it is like, oh, Emmett, that was fantastic. When can you come back?
Exactly.
I mean, he's there. You're having coffee. You can ask. But others, is there a list? Do they put it out there? Hey, we're available. We're going on tour. How does one even become aware of groups mixing in Chanticleer with some concert organists that may be known worldwide or maybe known in the island of organ majors?
Well, as far as Chanticleer is concerned, St. Margaret's Friends of Music also has a history with that group. Hmm. They have been on the series several times before, and as a result of that, we often get contacted by Chanticleer. They value the relationship they have with our series, and they want to continue that relationship. So a lot of groups that we have that will come who value the relationship, as it's the same thing with Emmett Cahill. Mm. He likes performing at St. Margaret's, as does Chanticleer. And so they are always wanting to come back. And matter of fact, Chanticleer has approached us about the possibility of being on the series regularly. And
oh, nice.
So that's wonderful to have that opportunity when people wish to perform. Otherwise, we hear of groups that will contact us wanting to perform on the series. I receive lots of emails from artist management groups saying, we have this group, we have this group, they're going to be in California, they would love to come perform at St. Margaret's. So sometimes it's more of having to say, I'm sorry, the series is full, we can't have you this year.
Yeah.
And that's almost a good thing to have, that you have so many groups and people from which to choose.
That is a good problem to have. I mean, how are we going to fill this Thursday? Consider instead maybe, okay, maybe a couple every month.
Exactly. And sometimes we can partner with organizations. There's a church at St. James by the sea in La Jolla. Their concert series, they have their concerts always on a Sunday. And so for the instance this year, Chanticleer is there on Sunday, and they just come over the mountain 2 hours, and they will be with us on Monday. So it's nice that we can also partner with other organizations. Our first concert this year on the series, which actually featured me as the organist, was done in conjunction with the Palm Springs Concert Association, which is the oldest concert association in the Valley. It was founded in 1958. And so this was a wonderful opportunity for 2 different series to come together and collaborate. So lots of possibilities.
Yeah. And at some point, it was, come for the Eucharist, stay for the music.
There you go.
But
exactly.
It looks like it's gone far beyond that. I mean, it's a wonderful series here. And as far as putting it together, it sounds much like when a lot of the public relations firms that are hired for touring artists, they're contacting me to see if they want to do some sort of, you know, publicity, conversation, interview, what have you. Same thing for you. We've got these guys performing. Mm-hmm. Do you have a space available?
Exactly.
Way cool. All right. Do you have anything in mind, or do you have anything that you know of already that you're willing to share about next season?
Next season is still in the works.
Okay.
We have some ideas of some things that are coming along, but nothing is quite yet set in stone for next season.
All right. And a reminder as far as where people can go, the website for the Friends of St. Margaret's. But in addition to, I don't know if you have a Facebook or Instagram presence or any kind of social media beyond the website.
Yes, we do. St. Margaret's also has a Facebook page, and St. Margaret's Friends of Music also has a Facebook page.
Fantastic. And then the website, once again, for St. Margaret's?
stmargaret's.org, and that is stmargaret's.org. If you go to that webpage, there's a special link for the Friends of Music concert series.
Excellent. Doug Leitenheimer, I appreciate your time on this. This was really cool. As I mentioned earlier, I wasn't just being snarky when I said I never thought I'd be Googling world's largest pipe organ or whatever. This is really cool. I have all sorts of interests that branch out from this strange bubbling space up here. And this was just really fascinating and fun for me. And we're sharing, I hope, music that people are going to get out to the desert and come see.
I hope so, too. I hope to see many more folks at Friends of Music. We will welcome you with open arms. And it's been a pleasure to be here.
Music from Chanticleer taking us out of the program, and while it's been mostly just in the background, any person or group we've been speaking about, it's been their music playing. More at chanticleer.org, and more on the St. Margaret's Friends of Music concert series, once again at stmargaret's.org, stmargaret's.org. With that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Doug Leitenheimer, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, and Sharina Wad. For more going on in the region, you can visit our events calendar at our homepage, kvcrnews.org, or you can go directly there at kvcrnews.org/calendar. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Beyond the music from individual groups or performers, music beds and themes generally heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Give any time at kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.